Hello there, boys and girls.
And hello to all the members of the family.
Today, Uncle Dan begins a new series of Bible stories, which took place several hundred years after Joseph and his brothers moved into Egypt.
Right, Aunt Sue. And our listeners may wish to use their Bibles to follow the story as recorded in the second book of the Old Testament, Exodus, chapters 1 and 2, through the 10th verse. I call the story...
A Deliverer is Born.
Everyone knows the story of Joseph, how he was sold as a slave into Egypt and then became governor of the land of the Nile, all because he was true and loyal to the principles he was taught at his parents' knees. This is the story of what happened to the descendants of Joseph as they dwelt in the land of Egypt.
Run of the house of Gael, Thebes, to see the king, the great and mighty king of all Egypt. Long live the king.
Audience granted. You may come forward.
Long live the king.
So, you are Rowan.
I am Rowan.
I understand that you are making quite a stir in Thebes.
I don't understand, Your Majesty.
And it seems you don't approve of the way I'm running the country.
You live forever, O king. I am an Egyptian. My fathers have been Egyptians since the beginning of time. As a loyal Egyptian, I am glad and happy to pay taxes to support my government. And I...
You complain of high taxes?
No, Your Majesty. I realize that I must pay for the 7 years of famine we have just gone through.
Then what is your complaint?
Your Majesty, there is a group of people here in our great land who do not pay taxes. They are not Egyptians. They are foreigners. They live on the fat of the land and are not required to pay any taxes. I do, yet I am an Egyptian. They are not.
You refer to the descendants of Joseph?
Yes, Your Majesty. They have been given the land of Goshen, the best land in Egypt, tax-free.
There is a reason, Rowan.
I do not doubt that, Your Majesty. Yet your subjects, your loyal Egyptian subjects, are not acquainted with that reason.
Then I must acquaint them with the reason. I must see that they know the truth. Scribe, bring quill and scroll. I must issue a proclamation at once. Now I want you to hear this, Rowan of the House of Gael, Thebes. Therefore you may remain.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Put this in the proclamation, scribe, and see that it goes to every city and crossroad in Egypt. I am Pharaoh. I am great and just and mighty, but there is one even more mighty and just and great than I am. He is the God of Joseph. He saved our land and our people from starvation during the 7 years of famine. Because of this, we owe him an everlasting debt of gratitude. A law has therefore been made that Joseph and his family shall live in Goshen tax-free for as long as they remain in Egypt. Royal favor has been extended to them because of the benefit.
Time passed. Joseph and his brothers died. But their descendants, the Israelites, continued to grow in numbers until there were many thousands of them living happily and contented in the land of Egypt. About this time, there was a great civil war in Egypt. The noblemen of the south arose and overthrew the kings of the north, who had been so kind to Joseph and his people. And there arose a new king who didn't respect the Israelites nor the provisions made for them. He was a very wicked king.
Lackey, I will see the Minister of Finance now.
Yes, Your Majesty. Minister of Finance, you may come forward.
Long live Pharaoh, great and mighty ruler of all Egypt.
Minister of Finance, I would like a report on the progress you're making raising money for the Syrian campaign.
Your Majesty, the progress is very slow.
Ah.
The people are already taxed to the limit, and furthermore, the crops have done very poorly this year.
I don't want excuses, Minister. Either you raise more money for the treasury or you'll be beheaded. I don't care how you do it, just do it.
Oh, Pharaoh, live forever. May I, your humble servant, make a suggestion?
Get me more money and I don't care what you do.
His Majesty's treasury will be bulging with money if His Majesty will do just one thing.
Me?
If His Majesty will lift the royal favor from the Israelites, there will be more than sufficient money.
Royal favor from the Israelites?
By law, Your Majesty, the Israelites are not required to pay taxes.
What's that? The Israelites don't pay taxes?
Not one penny, Your Majesty.
Everyone pays taxes, except me.
The descendants of Joseph don't.
Well, tax them, and see that they pay.
But that will require changing the law, Your Majesty.
I am the law. Tax the Israelites.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Just why don't the Israelites pay taxes?
Well, they never have, Your Majesty. It's because Joseph is supposed to have saved Egypt during the last famine. And...
Minister, tax those Israelites twice as much as anyone else. But first, take everything they have. Everything. For back taxes.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Money. A gold mine, these foreign Israelites. You are my Minister of Finance, aren't you?
Yes, Your Majesty.
All right, then get me more money.
But how, Your Majesty?
Tax the Israelites heavier.
But Your Majesty, they're already taxed.
They're foreigners. Well, tax them. Tax them. Tax them. Minister, make a note of the following decree.
Yes, Your Majesty.
From this date, the people known as the Israelites will forfeit all rights as an independent people and will henceforth become the property of the state. They are to be considered slaves and treated as such. An army of Egyptian taskmasters shall be appointed by the state to work the Israelites to the limit of their strength.
Hey, you Israelites there! Lay those bricks faster.
What business is it of yours what I do?
I'm a special taskmaster appointed by a royal decree to see that you Israelites do not loiter on the job. You see this whip? I am authorized.
Long live the king! Long live the king!
Yes, Minister of State?
Oh, king, there is a group of people in the land who are likely at any moment to rebel and try to overthrow your government.
Oh, there is there? Who are they?
Israelites, Your Majesty. And they...
No, them. You mean our slave labor. You say they're about to rebel?
Oh, they might at any time, Your Majesty. They're discontented, unhappy... And there are so many of them that they might be able to actually overthrow our government and way of life.
I take it that you didn't come before me unprepared. You have some idea? Some scheme to correct the situation?
I have a suggestion, Your Majesty, if His Majesty will be so kind as to permit me to voice it.
I will listen.
The Israelites, Your Majesty, are a great boon to Egyptian domestic welfare, if they are properly handled. They help us build, they help us in many ways, and with little, if any, cost to us. So, Your Majesty, we do not want to be rid of them, entirely rid of them. Otherwise, we could just kill them off.
Oh, no. That would be most unwise.
Exactly, Your Majesty. Therefore, I suggest that we merely keep their number down. Don't let them increase.
Yes, but my Minister of Public Welfare tells me that the more we suppress them, the stronger they become. So how do you propose to keep them from increasing?
Slay them as fast as they are born.
It's cold-blooded, but it would work.
I propose to slay all the male babies that are born to Israelite mothers.
Just the male babies?
Women hold no danger to our country, Your Majesty. It's the male Israelite that holds a menace to the country.
Yes, your suggestion has merit. In fact, it's a brilliant idea. Yet I think perhaps it might be wiser to slay the male Israelites as they arrive at a certain old age. They can no longer work efficiently anyway. If we do away with all the male babies, soon we won't have any male Israelites to do the work.
It's a very wise observation, Your Majesty. Nevertheless, there is one good reason why we should slay the male babies.
Oh?
The Israelites are looking for and expecting a savior to be born.
A savior?
Someone who can and will deliver them from our bondage.
Oh.
They're expecting this savior to be born as a babe. Something in their religion, I believe. But if we kill off all the male babies, their savior will never be a reality. They will remain in bondage to us forever. And the danger of them increasing to a danger point is also reduced to a minimum.
Yes. Well, it's your idea, so I'll place you in charge.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
And remember, have every Israelite male baby slain.
Not far from the palace of the king lives a devout, God-fearing Israelite named Amram. With him live his wife, Jochebed, a daughter named Miriam, and a small son, Aaron. It wasn't long after the king had announced the cruel decree that this Israelite home was blessed with the arrival of a beautiful baby boy.
Poor little Moses. What's to become of him?
If he'd just been a girl.
The king's soldiers will throw him in the river.
Don't say such a thing, Miriam.
But they will. They throw all Israelite baby boys in the river.
Miriam's right, Mother. The soldiers are bound to find Moses eventually and slay him.
But we've kept him hidden for 3 months, haven't we?
Yes, but I'm afraid we can't expect to keep him safe at home here much longer.
Why don't we try to hide him somewhere away from home where the soldiers will never think to look for him?
Hide a baby? How and where?
I know. I know. I'll make a little basket boat for him. We'll hide him on the river.
And lose him when he floats down the river with the current?
We'll fasten it in the bulrushes near the bank.
Who will take care of him, watch him, feed him?
I will, Mother. May I?
That's the answer, Miriam. You can make believe you're playing with your dolls on the bank of the river, and actually you'll be keeping a watch over little Moses.
Maybe it will work at that.
Of course it will.
Anyway, it's worth a try. Miriam, you run and get some river grass so your mother can weave a basket boat.
Right.
I'll mix some clay and pitch to make the basket watertight. And we'd better hurry. Every moment we lose brings death that much closer to little Moses. There. The basket's fastened securely.
You're sure it won't float down the river?
Positive.
Should I start making believe I'm playing with my dolls now?
In just a minute, Miriam. Right now, let's all bow our heads in a moment of prayer. God of our fathers, we thank thee for giving us a son. Help us now to preserve him, so that he may grow up and serve thee faithfully. Keep watch over him now, as we leave him in thy care and keeping. Amen.
Oh, Amram, I can't. I just can't leave my son all alone on the river like this.
But we have to, if we want him to live and grow into a man. All right, Miriam, you go over there under that tree and play with your dolls. But be sure to watch little Moses.
I will. I'll watch him awfully close.
Meanwhile, not very far away, the royal princess of Egypt and her maids are walking along the bank of the river, looking for a place for the princess to take her daily bath.
How is this spot, princess? The bottom is nice and sandy, and the water is just about waist deep.
Yes. Yes, this is a nice spot. Let's do stop here. No. No, let's go on around that bend.
But why, princess? This place is perfect.
I don't know why. For some reason, I just think we should go on.
All right, princess.
And so the princess and her maids continue on down the river toward the very spot where Miriam is watching over baby Moses.
Oh. Hi, it's a beautiful day. It's almost time to go and feed Moses. I guess I'll... Someone's coming down the path. Oh, no. It's the princess and her maids. What'll I do? No, I mustn't get excited. I'll just go on playing with my dolls as if I don't even see the princess. And I'll pray. And God will hear me and answer my prayer. I know he will. Oh, dear God, please protect little Moses. Please don't let the princess find him and hurt him and...
Minette, out there in the bulrushes. What is it? It looks like something floating on the river caught in the bulrushes.
I can't tell what it is from here, Your Highness.
Well, wait out there and find out what it is.
Yes, Your Highness.
What is it?
A basket of some sort.
What's in the basket?
I don't know. The basket's got a cover on it.
Well, bring the basket here. We'll open it and see what it is.
Yes, Your Highness.
I put it here. Take the cover off. Well, go ahead, unfasten it.
Yes, Your Highness. A baby.
A baby. Oh, beautiful little thing, isn't he?
All babies look alike to me.
Oh, there, there, little man. Come to me. Now, there's nothing to cry about.
Wonder who he is, where he came from.
Well, he's an Israelite baby. See, there's no band around his ankle.
Some mother he must have, trying to get rid of her baby like this.
A wonderful mother, smart and wise, hiding her little son on the river to save him from father's soldiers. Oh, he's cute, aren't you, little man? I think I'll keep him.
Keep him? But Your Highness, surely you're not serious.
But I am. He's so beautiful.
But your father ordered all Israelite male babies killed.
Not this one. This one's mine.
Oh, your father, long live the king, he'll be very angry.
Is any wish of mine to be denied?
Her Highness's least wish is law.
I wish this baby is my own. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Highness.
And see that you tell no one about this incident.
Yes, Your Highness.
Hello, Princess.
Be gone, little girl. I'm about to take my daily bath.
Excuse me, Princess, but I noticed that you found a little baby.
I don't have time to talk.
May I see the baby, Princess? I love babies.
All right. Here he is. Look at him.
Oh, he's asleep.
Do you know who he is, little girl?
May I hold your baby, Princess?
He isn't mine, I told you. I found him in the... All right. You may hold him.
He's a sweet baby, isn't he?
Why, you hold him just as if you... As if you were used to holding him.
Are you going to adopt him, Princess?
Yes. Yes, I think I will.
Will that make him a prince?
Yes, little girl. He will be a prince the second I adopt him. And I adopt him this very minute.
And I'm holding him. I'm holding a prince.
Well, give him to me now. I'll take him to the palace and feed him. Minette, take the baby. I mean, Prince. And hold him while I finish bathing.
Yes, Your Highness. He doesn't like me.
Let me have him again. I'll make him stop crying. See?
He seems to like you, little girl. Perhaps I should take you to the palace with me to take care of him.
Well, why don't you leave him here with me?
Here? With you?
I mean with my mother. She's a good nurse, and if this baby isn't yours, you need a nurse for him. I'm sure Mother would like the job.
Little girl, I think your mother would make a good nurse. Perhaps I should hire her to take care of the baby until he gets to be about 12 years old. Do you think your mother would do that?
Oh, yes, Princess. And she's home right now. I could run get her. Want me to?
Yes, do, little girl.
I'll run real fast. I'll be right back, Princess. Here she is, Princess, my mother.
Greetings and salutations, Princess Hatshepsut, Princess of all the land of Egypt. Miriam said you wish to engage a nursemaid for your son.
My adopted son.
Your adopted son.
I wish to engage a wise mother to act as a nursemaid for the baby, yes.
I am but a humble servant, a lowly Israelite, but I shall obey Your Highness in whatever task she commands me to perform.
I wish my son... My adopted son, brought up as a gentleman and a prince.
I shall try to the very best of my ability, Your Highness.
You will love this baby as your own son?
I realize, Your Highness, that motherly love is one of the very essentials in the bringing up of children.
Your name?
Jochebed, wife of Amram, a bricklayer.
You will be furnished with ample means for the boy's clothing and upkeep. and for your wages. At your knee, and by your wisdom, shall the boy be taught and trained until he is 12 years old. See to it that he is taught and trained beyond reproach.
Yes, Your Highness.
So Moses was returned to his home, this time as a royal charge, instead of an Israelite boy baby hunted by the soldiers of the king. And there was much rejoicing in Amram's home.
God of our fathers, we thank thee for saving our son Moses from death in the river. We thank thee for making it possible for us to keep him until he is 12 years old. Help us to have the wisdom and knowledge to train him according to thy precepts. And at last, save us all in thy kingdom. Amen.
The years pass. As Moses grew into a boy, his mother taught him of the true God of heaven. She instilled in him principles of truth and honesty.
Moses, my son, soon now you'll have to leave our home and become the crown prince of Egypt. You'll have wealth and power. You'll have everything your heart desires. But Moses, my son, don't let these things spoil you or cause you to forget God. Many times I've told you about how God saved you as a baby. It must be that God has a great purpose for you to fulfill. So, Moses, you must continue to worship the true God at the palace, whatever the cost. Live a pure and clean life, my son, so that when you are grown, God can use you. Use you to deliver our people from the bondage of Egypt. Yes?
Are you the woman who's taking care of Prince Moses' adopted son of the princess?
I am.
The princess sends word to have Moses ready to leave for the palace tomorrow at noon.
I've been expecting this. All right, officer. Moses will be ready.
Long live the prince!
Moses is getting in the carriage.
What?
He's leaving.
Long live the prince and king of Egypt.
And our brother.
Oh, God in heaven, be with our son as he begins his new life as the crown prince of Egypt. Guide his footsteps as he grows into manhood, that he'll not be influenced by the pomp and pleasure of the palace. May he never forget to worship thee and prepare himself for the work of delivering us from bondage.
No, Moses didn't forget God. He did not forget his people, the Israelites, either. In fact, Moses grew into one of the greatest men of God this world has ever known. And after many years of preparation, God used Moses to deliver the Israelite slaves from their Egyptian masters. And Israel became a free nation under God.